All right, we'll finish right up by 10 o'clock, so you get out of here. I thought he said 10 o'clock. Some practical ideas for a leader's growth in Christ. Some practical ideas. So I challenge you, but you say, oh, but how am I going to do this? Well, let's look at some very practical ways. A in your outline, or one in your outline, pray for a desire to grow and mature. Pray about this matter. Now, here's what happened. After the fall, Adam and Eve fell. They were hiding from God, right? God looked for them. Then they have to cover themselves. Well, we've been hiding from God ever since. Spiritual things are hard. So, for example, Broncos have a game. People sit down. 3.5 hours they sit there. Sometimes 4 hours watch a game. Never think of a word of it. Can you imagine reading the Bible for 4 hours? You know, oh my neck, oh. Oh, my eyes, they're bleeding. Cataracts are growing right now. Oh, I just have a headache. You know, my back. Right? Is that true? Or people will read novels for hours, or they'll see a movie, maybe see 2 movies in a night, but try to get them to come to a prayer meeting, try to get them to pray. Spiritual things are hard. And I would say to you that we're all spiritually lazy. We are all spiritually, and I include myself in that. And so we have to fight this, and the way to fight this is to pray about it. We have to pray and ask the Lord for a thirst to grow and to mature and to learn. We lose our natural curiosity and interest in doctrine. We get tired of study and reading. We fall back and rest on what we already know. We get tired of dealing with people and all their problems. So we have to pray about spiritual laziness, and we have to pray that we throughout life will be spiritual sponges, and we'll not be satisfied if we're not growing and maturing in Christ and learning of our faith, so that our faith is exciting to us and that excitement is contagious and it helps other people. Second, protect your prayer life. If you notice in Acts chapter 6, verse 4, the first leader said this: we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Isn't that interesting? The first leadership body, the 12 apostles, said to the church, first church, right at the dawn of the Christian era, we must devote, and that's a very strong word, single-minded devotion, and normally we skip over to the ministry of the word, but it doesn't say that, to prayer and the ministry of the word. In other words, as we minister the word, it's got to be backed up by prayer. Everything we do is dependent on prayer. Prayer is our work. Now, here's the problem. We live in a hypermanic society. We live in a society, this is what sociologists say, is the age of distraction. There are distractions that never existed before. So you've got to get distracted. You can be distracted by the internet, by movies and sports, and it's really endless. There is no question in the last 40 years there has been catastrophic changes in society. So here's my dad. He's years in the same company. He has 6 weeks vacation. He goes on vacation for 2 weeks. There's no cell phone or anything. He's on vacation, period. My son-in-laws could not go on a 2 weeks vacation. It's not possible. They go on a week's vacation and they have to be connected to the cell. They have the computer. It's a whole different world. And it's not conducive to the spiritual life. Now, if you look at the Bible, this is a big book. You as a child of God, you know God's book. This is the best-selling book in the world. You know that? Is the best-selling book in the world. It's God's book. He's the author. And it's an insult to God if we won't even open his book and read it and learn. We're people of the book. So we have a big problem. We all have this problem. Young people have it even worse. And that is the age of distraction. So many things. You got the cell phone ringing all the time, and people are so addicted to it. And so there's no time for God. And the least thing is, in fact, I call it the new idolatry. There is no time for God. The hardest thing, though, is prayer. Prayer. Our busy life squeezes prayer out. It's not conducive to the kind of world we live in. Yet Jesus was a man of prayer. The apostles were men of prayer. So you're going to have to protect your prayer life. You have to come up with gimmicks or tricks, whatever you have to do to have time. So here's one gimmick I came up with. I like things to help me because it's so complicated. My office is in the basement. It's a very nice office, so don't feel sorry for me. And I have to go up and down the stairs all day. So So what I did is I have a set of the cards of our church missionaries with their picture. So every time I'm going up and down the stairs, I pray for one aspect of that missionary all day. Then on the second tier is missionaries that are not connected to our church, but I've known over the years. So like people in Russia, like Jonathan in Russia. So I'll put the card there and pray for them. So that helps me. It helps me. Anything you can do to help your prayer life. Pray in your car. When I was coming down, I was listening to the Bible read to me. The ESV read by Max McLean. It's just beautiful. And then I'll take a book like 2 Timothy, which I have to teach on in a few weeks at another place. I just listen to it over and over until I can just get ahead of him and know just what he's going to say. You're going to have to come up with ideas to fight back at this hyper-busy world we live in. You've got to fight back. You can't just give up. It is idolatry. If we have no time for God, that's idolatry. Other things are there first. All right, next. Protect your Bible reading time. Now, the Bible is a supernatural book. It's not just a book. It's the very words of God. It's how God intends to speak to us. It's how we will grow. It's our food. It's our drink. Without the Bible, we don't really know anything much about God except he's some kind of creator, the invisible things, Romans 1:20. But we don't know God. We don't know what he wants, and we don't know what we are to do. But the Bible will teach you. Here's something about the Bible. There is not a meaningful problem you are having that isn't addressed in this book. I think of the book of Proverbs. Man, every aspect of life is addressed in the Proverbs. That's why it's so important for young people to learn Proverbs. So, it's God's food, God's bread, God's sword, God's fire. It's God's means to talk to us. But here's what's happening, and many of you probably will acknowledge this. Knowledge of the Bible is abysmal today. And the average Christian has no mental concept of the storyline starting in Genesis 1:1 ending in Revelation 22. Really, the Bible is a foreign book to them. Maybe they've read parts of it, and big parts of it, but they've never seen the developing progressive revelation story. And it's not in their head. And so I would suggest that a new Christian use something like Max Anders' book, 30 Days Through the Bible, where he uses charts in that and takes you through the whole Bible to see it's a developing revelation. You just went through that in the survey, right? Here, Old and New Testament survey. So, knowledge, although we've got more tools than ever, more Bibles than ever, we have less people reading, and that's done by many, many studies. And I think it's an insult to God that he wrote this book for us. Outside of giving his son, this is the greatest prize he gave us, and some people never open it. Or if they do open it, it's on Sunday morning. Well, at least that's better than nothing. So, protect your Bible reading time. Someone has said this, you can't be too busy driving to stop for gas. You can't be too busy in life that you can't stop and refuel with the Word of God. The Bible says, let the Word of Christ, that's the gospel message, dwell in you richly. In other words, let it take up residence in you richly. Remember what the Lord Jesus said to Mary, Luke 10:42. But one thing is necessary. One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. And that is sitting at Jesus' feet. Mary, like many of us, triple A personality. She's running all around pots and pans, and she's getting mad at her sister. Her sister's in there listening to Jesus. She was in the kitchen at one time. Mary had enough, says, I'm going to listen to the Lord. And Martha's getting more and more angry at her sister, and she even rebukes the Lord. She said, Lord, don't you see my lazy sister out just sitting listening to your word? Get her in the kitchen with me. The Lord says to her, Mary, Martha, Martha, you're worried and you're concerned about so many things, but one thing is necessary. In other words, Jesus wanted their fellowship beyond their work. He wanted to be with them and to hear his word. So Mary chose the better portion and will never be taken away, sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his words. We do that every time we open the Bible. We're sitting at his feet. We're listening to what he wants us to know. And everything we need to know, he's told us in his book. So you must guard, protect your Bible reading time. Whatever you have to do. One of my friends, I'll tell you two stories. One of my friends just literally had to get rid of his TV. Very close friend. He said, I was so addicted. So addicted. It was the way I called myself relaxing. Come home, and I didn't realize it was 2-3 hours every night, relaxing. He said, I could not get away. I had to get rid of it. And he said, now we've gotten rid of it. We don't even miss it, and we get to read and do other wonderful things, like talk to each other. And then another one of my friends, who's an elder in one of our churches, he's a very good teacher and preacher. He said, in order to get the time I needed, because he has a regular full-time job and a tough job, he said, I gave up my beloved Broncos. I mean, that's pretty radical. But you know, sometimes it's going to have to come up with some radical things to show that God comes first and sit at his feet. I don't know what you have to do, but you have to find time to meet with God. You ever hear that old-fashioned word, quiet time? You ever hear that? Quiet time. It's from like the Middle Ages. We don't even know what quiet time is because we're so surrounded by noise. We're a very noisy culture and society. If you don't believe that, just walk out on any street and the noise from the cars is incredible. Time to be quiet. My favorite part of the day is early in the morning before anyone's up. In fact, on Saturday mornings, my favorite time, I make some tea and then I go to my study and I've got plenty of time. I'm not rushed on Saturday morning because it's my day off. And I have plenty of time to meditate, read on the scriptures. It's so fulfilling and enjoyable. All right, let's look next. Read significant books. In other words, have a book nearby. So you say, I'm not much of a reader. Okay, you don't have to read a lot. You can read a little. And actually, it'll improve your reading and it'll improve your brain. Your brain will grow. Have a significant book that you have by. So go to a restaurant. I always put my books in my case, and I go to a restaurant. This is not uncommon. Someone shows up late. It doesn't bother me. They don't show up at all. Ooh, I forgot. And I just pull out my book and get reading and going. I'm at the airport. Plane's 2.5 hours late, 5 hour a late plane. Or I wind up staying overnight. It doesn't matter. I get reading, doing my work, and boy, that time went fast. I don't sit there and complain. Doesn't do any good anyway because I can't fly planes. So have a book, have something significant that you're reading that will add to your knowledge bank of our Lord. You can talk to some of the elders here about significant books. Oh, here's a good one. Listen to audio messages. I have to confess to you, I was a tapeaholic. We used to have the little cassettes. Remember that? Remember back in the old days? Remember the old days? Anyway, you put the little cassette in. I've heard thousands of hours of Bible teaching in the car. So here I am, 2.5 hours coming down here. If you, for 4 years, well, when you're in the car, listen to Bible exposition like the John MacArthur tapes, S. Lewis Johnson, all of this is free today. You can get the greatest Bible teachers and preachers in the world, bring them right in through your computer. And when you're in the car, take a book like Romans. I feel that every Christian getting started should master the book of Romans. So you get a good series by Johnny Mack or S. Lewis Johnson, Bill McRae. There's plenty of people out there. Alistair Begg, on and on. And you just listen every time you're in the car. Take some notes, but don't get killed. I don't want to be responsible or sued. It's amazing I haven't been killed during a car. But I learned to write and keep my eye on the road. In fact, when I write, I was doing it coming down here, just writing and just. So I have not been killed yet. Okay. So I'm not advocating you do that. But if you're in 4 years, you'll have a 1 year Bible school education. I have learned so much from listening in the car to audio messages. It's a nice thing in the church to pass around good messages. You go to a conference and you come back with the messages and you say to the church, listen, we want to pass this around to everyone. Or you can encourage people. Just go online and listen to people online, and almost all of it's free. Go to good conferences. This is a way years ago people would, in small churches, get to hear great teachers. Go to Bible conferences. It's a good way to get a wife and a husband this way. Nothing wrong with that. Send your kids to a conference with other young people. Send them to a camp. And don't send them to a bar. Send them to something like that. So you go to a conference. So you go to a conference like the Shepherd's Conference, and you're getting some of the greatest teachers we have in the evangelical world. And you meet lots of other Christians, and it's so encouraging. And you get resources there at these conferences. We use it as training our leaders. So we have a number of young men we're training up as leaders in our church. So we'll even pay for some of them to go to a conference, a good Bible conference, like the Gospel Coalition or Together for the Gospel. And there's many, many, many. We have such resources in America. All right, raise your conscience about the world around you. Now, Matthew 28 makes it very clear we are Great Commission Christians, right? The final marching orders of our Lord: go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, right? That's our commission. And other things are connected, like baptism, teaching them to observe everything I taught you. We should all be missions-minded and world-minded, because that's our commission from the Lord. Disciple all nations, which means we've got to know what's going on in the nations and in the world, because our missionaries are out there. What's happening in the news totally affects our missionaries. Now, there's catastrophic changes that have happened. For example, there are very few friendly countries to the gospel. Very few, like Japan. I mean, to go, missionaries, or American missionaries. Many, many places in the world, it's now against the law. These men who have just came back from Russia and one of the stands will tell you. They're clamping down in China and Russia, of course, in the Middle East, and many places in the world are clamping down on any kind of evangelism, any kind of proselytizing. And so it's getting more hostile out there. In 2015, over 5,000 Christians were killed, martyred for Christ. And any organization that deals with persecution of Christians will tell you persecution of Christians is growing. So what's my point? My point is you ought to know world news. Don't be stupid. Don't be ignorant of these things. Have some news channel like BBC or something like that, or have a magazine or a site you go to keep abreast of the great trends, big trends in the world. Well, first of all, it'll broaden you as a person, and you'll expand your mind and then your vision for missions, because we're mission-minded people. We should be a Great Commission Christian and a Great Commission church. I see you got a map back there. And next week I'm going to meet with at a camp with a group of all students that study there. And I told them when I met with them early in the fall last year, I said to them, when I come back here, my challenge is to every night you're to see the news or have a news magazine that you read. And I'm going to ask you about Russia. I'm going to ask you about China. I want to know what's the great movements on this earth. What's happening? Because big things are happening. Chinese are literally like ants taking over this. They're every place now. And what's the future of the gospel? What's the future of the church with these big, big mega movements? You should know that, because we're growing Christians, right? We're expanding our brains and our minds. I talk to a lot of Christians, and they all have their opinions, opinions, opinions. They worship their opinion. They don't read anything. They don't really know any information. They just have opinions about everything. And they're usually dumb opinions. If you have an opinion about China and Russia and the world events, you got to read something. You got to read the experts. So just this past week, there's a fantastic article about North Korea and Kim Jong-un. Great article, written with a council for what to do, and it was written by one of the supreme commanders of allied NATO forces, man who's been years in this. You read someone like that, and you go, oh, your eyes are open. I had no idea how complex the whole thing is. So you should be a world Christian with world vision. You set before your young people so we have more missionaries go out. All right, watch out for distractions. I said enough about that. They're all over the place. You literally have to practice the word no. So stand in front of a mirror sometime and just say no. 4 or 5, really firm, no. You got to say no to things so you can do the good things, the big things. If you don't say no to all the little things, you'll wind up not being able to do the big things or the main things that God wants you to do. I'll tell you, there are so many distractions pulling at us today. We've never seen anything like it in human history. All right, be concerned about your ongoing education as Christian leaders. So as Christian leaders, the worst thing that can happen to you is become stagnant and you're self-satisfied. You have enough, not realizing how little you do have. We should be concerned about our continual growth in the Word of God, in world missions, in theology, in the culture we live in, that we're expanding and growing, and we're interested in these things. Interested in these things. And then young people will love you. They'll say, man, I love our leaders. They're going someplace. They know things. They're challenging us. One of the things I like about John MacArthur, and I'm not trying to puff him up, he's like 77 or 78, something like that. Well, he's out in front of the young people leading and going someplace. He's not in the back watching the parade. So we need men that are and women that are out front of the young people. Say, let's go, follow the charge. Not in back going, well, I'm old now. Well, you'll get old real fast if you have that mentality. So be learning, be growing, be stretching, expanding in your faith. Be excited about your faith. Be excited when you hear the word preached. Be excited when it's time to pray, when it's time to sing. Sing with enthusiasm. Know what's going on in your world. And if you don't, find out. There's plenty of information out there. And you can hear someone like Al from Southern Seminary, Al Mohler. You can listen to his daily briefings. It's only about 10, 15 minutes. One of my son-in-laws listens every day. And he's giving you cultural analysis. What's going on in America? What's going on in Europe? How is it that things are rapidly changing in 20 years that we wouldn't even have dreamed of 20 years ago? Why is that happening? And what's happening? Know these things. It will help you to grow. All right, I said enough. Let's pray. Now, normally I would stay here till the last person drops and meet you all. But I've got a 2.5-hour drive, and it's still light. I think I'm going to leave pretty soon. So, what's that?
You only
have one eye. Yes, and at night, this one gets glared. What's that? Yeah, I'm riding with this arm, blind in this arm.
Pray. Go ahead.
It'd be a miracle. No, that's right. The light really shines in that left eye. All right. You pray I get home alive. I'm not a speeder, so I'm frightened of any kind of pain. So I go nice and slow. All right, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you. You challenge us. You press us forward. And you want bigger and better things for all of us here. And we ask that we'll receive this and be excited this evening about our faith and about how we should be growing and learning and stretching and expanding and challenging others and being a model and example to others behind us. May we be able to lead the charge and not follow the charge. We ask these things in the powerful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, just going to be 5 minutes and I'm going to leave. If you owe me any money, please come up here.
What do you want us to do with those?
If anyone signs them out, you just give them to me.
Okay, so here's sending books. Take one of these. Because we can send these with us.
You know what? John, if any come in, you just mail it to
got
them.
Got it, okay.
And then
okay.
Mail it right to them.
Got it.
And we
okay.
Put a bill in it.
Got it, okay.
They don't pay this box.
They fill it out and you give it to me.
Thank you.
in the middle. In the middle. In the middle.